Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good once again to us, each and every one of us that are here. God has blessed us once again. And as we get ready to go to God in his worship service, and as we have begun his worship service, before we get into the message, let us take a moment to go to God in prayer and be ever reminded of the announcement that Brother Jackson has made already. I'll make it again, but Brother Paul Davis passed away on yesterday. So we want the church to be mindful of that and to remember to call the Davis family and let them know that you care enough about them to make a phone call to them. So let us thank God now as we go to him in prayer. O heavenly and righteous Father, it is with great privilege and great honor and great respect that we come to say thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today. We thank you this morning, Lord, because we did not have to be here, but we are here, and so we come out to your house this morning. Thank you this morning, Father, for the blessings that you have given us throughout our lives. Thank you, and we pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are sick and shut in, and we pray for those families that have lost loved ones, including the Davis family. Father, we thank you this morning that your will might be done in all of our lives, for we know, O Heavenly Father, that your will must be done, and it will be, and it shall be done. We pray this morning for the church here, the leaders of this congregation, their families, and for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank you this morning and pray for each and every one that are under the sound of our voice this morning, Lord. Thank you for blessing them to be able to be out here. Thank you this morning, Father, for giving us safe passage to and from. Then, Father, we thank you for those who may be traveling, that you give them safe passages to their destination and that they may return once again. Father, when all has been said and done, when we have walked the last mile of the way, we ask you, O Heavenly Father, to give us a home with thee in thy kingdom, in heaven with thee, O Heavenly Father. These and all other blessings we do ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from John, the 19th chapter, in verses number 25 through verses number 28. This morning, first of all, let me just say to the mothers, have a good day today. And I hope this day is a good for you. And I hope that your children will recognize you on this day. This morning, every year around this time, when we talk about, we pause and we remember mothers, and that's a good thing. We remember their influences, their love, their nurturing, and all the things that they provided for us. But one thing we must remember Jesus, of whom this day really belongs to, also took notice of his mother. Now, before anyone gets too carried away, I don't want you to say that Brother Carter is saying that on the day of the crucifixion, that was Mother's Day. That's not what I'm saying. So don't get that in your head, because Jesus recognized his mother on Mother's Day. From his cross, he recognized his mother. Man has deemed this as Mother's Day. This is a man-made holiday, and man has decided to call it Mother's Day. And it's really for the sake of retailers, that they may get money in their pockets. The first day of the week has been, shall always be, the Lord's Day. God would not be pleased if we forgot about Jesus on his day. I believe that the ways of our lives can be influenced, if we are Christians especially, by Jesus first. Next, the greatest influence comes from mother. Now, this morning, before we go any further, we're going to be talking about behold thy mother. Now, I'm not going to try to compare a mother's position to that of Jesus. If I did, the mothers would come up short every time, and that's all of them. But from the cross, Jesus saw many things, and we don't have time to talk about all the things that Jesus saw, but from the cross, he saw some things that you should be aware of. He saw cruel soldiers. There's a lot we can say about Jesus as he hung on his cross, clinging to life. No doubt he had time to remember many things. One thing that we should all remember is that in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, that Jesus, the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to and give his life a ransom for many. He was God in human form. He was God in human form, and from his cross, he remembered some things that he saw. The Bible teaches us some things that he saw from his cross. He was in human form for 33 and a half years. And he lived those 33 and a half years without sin. Truly what he saw from his cross was much. But yet, as it had already been foretold, he knew that he had to meet the cross. Of these things in Isaiah chapter 50 through the verses is 3. The verses are 3 through verse number 6. Where verses 3, 1 through 6, I should say. We get a picture of what men were thinking about Jesus. The Bible says Isaiah chapter 53, verses number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we turn our backs from him. He bore our grief and our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgression. He bore our transgressions, beaten that we might have peace with his stripes. We are healed. Now, a man forsaken by his father and all his followers, he suffered more than most of us will suffer in a lifetime, just as he was on the cross. He was shamed by the stripping of his clothing by those who crucified him. He saw from his cross these soldiers who had taken his clothes and divided his clothes into four parts so that every soldier might receive a part. Now, heaven knows why they took his clothes, but the Bible says that they took his clothes to divide them. He was uncovered that we might be covered from our sins. He became sin for us. We are not left to read of any valuables or anything of material values being left by Jesus. But yet to those ordinary soldiers who were, you might say, paying themselves wages for their crucifying of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So somebody decided, let us cast lots for his clothing. His coat was seamless, and so it was pretty valuable not to cast it away. So they decided, let us roll dice for his coat, or let us cast lots for his coat. While Christ was in agony, these men became like some men today who are selfish, uncaring, and disobedient toward the cross of Christ. Many today have forgotten about the cross of Christ. Many today don't remember that Christ died for our sins. And some of us, we just think that it was what Christ was supposed to do. God didn't have to send his son. But John 3:16 said, God loved us, so he gave us his only begotten son. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. But while on this cross, Jesus saw the cruelty of those soldiers as they divided his clothes. Let us look, if you will, at John chapter 23 and following. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Who shall it be? That the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and my vestures they did cast lots on these. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So from the cross, Jesus was able to see the cruelty of these men who stood at the foot of his cross. And I tell you something, church. Sometimes we forget how good and how wonderful the cross of Christ is. How good and wonderful the cross of Christ should be a figure in our lives to remember. But that brings us up to where Jesus was on the cross because he was being crucified. But then from the cross, he saw his mother. Look at the text in verse number 25 in John 19 in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Now the text describes to us who of the family members of Jesus were standing by. It takes notice to call out that Jesus must have first noticed his mother, because verse number 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus noticed that his mother was standing there by the disciple that he loved. He noticed that his family members too were standing by the cross. Now a mother can have great and profound influences upon her children, the lives of her children, and how her children are raised up. When everyone else leaves or deserts us, mothers usually will stay the course. Notice the brief and simple directive Jesus gave to his mother in verse number 26 there. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Very simple, very touching, and very tender scene. A mother watching her son in his agony. A mother watching her son as life is taken away from him, or life slowly ebbs away from him. Jesus saw her standing there, and he knew and he was aware about her cares and the grief that she had. So he did for her what any son should do, or any child would do or should do. With tenderness, he left provisions for her at his death. Notice there, once again, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Notice there that he left specific instructions. He noticed his mother there, I should say, and he said, "Woman, behold thy son." In other words, you deserve the affections of a mother, even though I may not be the one here to give it to you. So he instructed in verse number 27, his disciple, he instructed him, "Behold thy mother." Then saith he to the disciple, "Beside thy mother." Disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying mothers deserve our best. Jesus, first of all, deserved our best. And then mothers deserve our best. And I always say, fathers, I'm not knocking against you, but mothers are always going to be first in the lives of their children. Mothers have a special place in the lives of their children, at least most of them anyway. So mothers, you deserve whatever your children deserve. Mothers, you deserve whatever your children give you on this day. Don't feel bad about accepting it. If they want to take you to the finest restaurant in town, go with them. Don't worry about how it's going to be paid for, as long as they don't ask you. Then when our children grow up, and our children get old enough to remember mother, and mother may no longer be with them, they'll have good and fond memories of their mother. They'll remember their mother for the influences they showed to them during their lifetimes. They'll remember that one day I fell and bruised my knee, and mother took some iodine and put on my knee, or some alcohol, or whatever you put on a scrape. I don't know anymore, since I don't have any little children. But nevertheless, mothers usually will take time to take care of their children. And so here was a child who was going to his death on the cross, and he remembered his mother. How many here today have made provisions for your mother when you may no longer be able to provide for her? Jesus left his mother to the care of someone whom he felt would give her the care she needed. And I just hope nobody asked me today, "What about John, her husband?" Well, I don't know what about John, her husband. The Bible doesn't instruct us where he was at this time. Perhaps you can think that maybe he had passed on. We don't know where he was at. But the one thing that I do know is that the Bible said that Jesus saw his mother from the cross. Jesus saw his mother from the cross, and nevertheless, when he saw his mother, probably a warm feeling, even though he may have been in agony, perhaps a warm feeling came about in his body. You know, mothers tend to bring warm feelings to us from time to time. And if you're from the old school mother, she also could bring punishment to your backside. But nevertheless, mother is always going to be mother. Mother is always going to be the one who's going to show concern for you when you go to school. When they call for the parents, when teachers call for the parents of children to come, they usually tell the children, bring your mother up here. And then mothers take care of their families. Mothers not only take care of their children, but they provide care for those children. They provide instructions for those children. They provide all the things to nourish and nurture up a child. And when I speak, I'm talking about a mother who does these things. Then perhaps you know of a mother who's not quite the same, but that's still a mother nevertheless. And she deserves to receive the honor of her children. Her children should also have concerns about her. And in this day that we call Mother's Day began a little over 100 years ago. But Jesus saw his mother from the cross over 2,000 years ago. He did not need just one day to care for her, for he left her in the care of another for the rest of her life and for the rest of the caretaker's life. Jesus did not have silver, nor did he have gold. He had no great real estate holdings to leave to his mother. He didn't have fancy clothing because what clothing he did have, the soldiers had already stolen from him. He left her with one whom he could trust in, and he told her to look upon John as her son. The influences of a mother left Jesus with a time of reflection, a sense of duty from child to mother. His situation was bad, but he didn't forget his mother. His situation was bad, but he didn't forget that I need to make some provisions for my mother. When one loves the Lord, he or she would be just as obedient as John was by his acceptance of Jesus' directive to allow Mary to stay with him and be under his care. According to historians, the mother of Jesus lived with John for 11 years after Jesus' crucifixion, and then she died. With all that Jesus saw from his cross, with all that he went through and all that he left for us, the example left for us to follow is very simple. Obey the Lord and do his will. When it comes to remembering your mother, obey your mother and remember your mother as well. Remember your mother because she is the one that, in most cases, mothers sometimes have become the replacement for dads as well. Mothers sometimes after they are called single parents. And mothers sometimes have to raise their children all by themselves. And when mothers don't do it, Big Ma does it. Grandma is usually the next in line to take over for mothers. Now, the question comes up in my mind, how may mothers influence their children? Well, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he speaks how that Eunice, this Eunice and Lois, Eunice was Timothy's his mother and Lois was his grandmother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the verses number 5, the Bible talks about how that Timothy and his mother and his grandmother had unfinished or mighty faith. How that Timothy also had, because of their influence of his mother and his grandmother, maybe he had the influence to be a Christ-like child. Because they had unfinished faith. That means they had mighty faith. That means that they were there when Timothy perhaps needed them to be there. That means that they taught him on matters of religion and they taught him things about the Lord. How many mothers today are teaching their children about the Lord? Maybe your mother wasn't such a great influence on you, or maybe she was a great influence on you. Maybe your mother today, mothers can teach their children, give their children influence by leading a godly life before their children, by showing and teaching them to read the Bible. And if any mother needs a reason to, to read the Bible to their children or teach their children to the Bible. They simply have to but go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 around verse number 15 where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's reason enough. That's reason enough for a good mother to mind her children and to read to her children, distill in them a sense of responsibility, a sense of the Lord, a sense of knowing God's word. And I've often wondered sometimes when a mother is not being a good mother, what kind of mother is she being? So the question becomes, if you're not a good mother, what are you doing about your children? And we know the answer to that. We can see the answer every day on the streets of this city in which we live and in this world in which we live. Then there's the mother who teaches the medium of prayer to her children. And it was brought up in Bible school. There's nothing like a prayer or asking or telling God of your needs. Let them know that your faith in God is deep and that you're deeply rooted, and let them know that having enough faith in God, you can, according to Matthew chapter 17, you can tell a, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move and that mountain can move or be moved, if you will, if you but simply have the faith. But you must have faith on this, the Lord's Day, as we take time to praise God. Let us not forget the women who we know as mom. Sometimes they're called mama. Sometimes they're called mothers. Mothers who raised their children like Mary, who brought Jesus into the world. Mothers like Mary who influenced Jesus to perform his first miracle in John chapter 2. She suggested to Jesus that he make some wine at the wedding. And I'll tell you, like I always tell folks, at a wedding, there's nothing like having Jesus at the party, in the party of the wedding. Nothing like having Jesus as an invited guest to your wedding. So Mary suggested to her son that they've ran out of wine in John chapter 2, and you need to consider making some more wine. Go over there with me, if you will, to John chapter 2 just for a moment. I'm not going to be very long at this point because I know many of you are taking mom out, so I want you to hurry up and get there. And the Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse number 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Invite Jesus, whatever you do. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But his mother told the servants, she said to them, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. So what I'm saying this morning is whatever the Lord tells us to do, we ought to be considerate enough to do it this morning. We ought to thank God that he has left us here to be able to share this moment with your mother. So when you think about it, when you think about that we must have faith on this Lord's Day as we take time once again to praise God and not forget those mothers in our life, like Eunice, and who stood out as an example to Timothy, set in him a sense of correction, of conviction. Most of us remember our mothers who raised us up. She left us with a sense of godly wisdom. If you are a Christian, usually you were left with a sense of godly wisdom. Have you left what she taught you? Have you stopped attending church like she used to take you every Sunday? Have you decided, I don't need church every Sunday anymore? Have you decided that church is for old folk? Church is not for young folk. Well, the last time I checked, they made caskets for young folk as well as old folk. And if they'll make one for a young folk, a young person, that means that somebody out there young is going to be put in a casket. And when you think about it, church, this morning, if it wasn't for the mothers, many of our children may have been caught up in something that caused them to go to an early grave long before this time in their lives. But because of mother's influence, we've got some people that have taught us the right reasons to do right, to do the right thing. But mothers are a good thing. Just like Jesus saw his mother from the cross, you need to look around and see your mother. You need to be concerned and show pride that your mother is still with you. I tell you something. If you have your mother still with you, you need to take a moment out. And I know that many of our children no longer live in the same areas that we live in, and it might be quite impossible. It might be quite impossible for many of our children to visit their mothers on Mother's Day. Now, I tell you what, this is just my personal thing that I did for my children this weekend. I called my children this weekend, and I asked them, I said, are you going to be all right? This is the first Mother's Day you have without your mom being here. And I said, are you going to be all right? And for the most part, they told me they're going to be okay. So sometimes it don't take anything other than a phone call to say to your mother, Mama, I love you. And some of us have a problem with saying I love you. And if you just make that phone call, Mama will get the message. And if Mama asks you, did you go to church today, son? You want to be able to say, yes, Mama, I went to church because I remember Ray all of her teachings. That she taught me that church was the right place to be on Sunday morning. And as Jesus was on his cross and dying, he looked down and he said, he saw his mother, the Bible says. And when he saw his mother, he began to make provisions for his mother. So I suggest to you today that you ought to be making some provisions for your mother. You ought to be making some provisions that your mother will be cared for if you're not around. You ought to be making some provisions that allow your mother to have a good feeling about you. Now, no mother or no father likes to think that they're going to go before their children are going to go before they go. But here Mary was standing at the foot of the cross, seeing her son having to go away to death. Now, death we can't prevent, but it's how we live our lives that matters. Because none of us, the contract on our lives, it states life, and then from life, death comes after life. None of us can beat that proposition. So, but it's how you live your life that makes a difference. So mothers like Eunice and Lois, the grandmother, how they raised up Timothy, and Timothy was set with this sense of conviction. But most of all, when you remember your mother, how she raised you up and she didn't leave you and she left you with a sense of this godly wisdom, have you left what she taught you about to do in life? Do the right thing, son. I can hear my mother now. Do the right thing, son. And nevertheless, when mama leaves, when mama is no longer here, sometimes children take a mind of their own. And they say, well, I remember what mama said, but she's not here to watch me. And that's a sad commentary on your life, not on mama's life. Has Sunday mornings become a day to you to catch up on your sleep you lost on Saturday night? I got some bad news to tell you. Once you have lost sleep, you can't get it back. I don't care if you sleep 10 hours. You will not make up for that sleep that you missed on Saturday night. You can sleep, but that sleep that you missed is still lost. It cannot be regained. It's like trying to squeeze toothpaste back in the tube. You just can't do it. Once it's out, it's out. Once your sleep is missed, it's missed. So I ask the question today as I bring this lesson to a close, how will you remember your mother today? More importantly, will you praise the Lord for her? Will you be like Jesus was at the cross when he looked down from his cross and saw his mother. Will you be able to provide something to her that will make her proud of you? Will you be able to live a life that your mother would be proud that you're living? Most important than even that is now that you're grown up and you're a parent yourself, will you instill in your children as a mother? Will you instill in your children the same values that your mother instilled in you? Or will you say these are new times and new days and we don't live by those old rules? You know, the rule for being good and being obedient to the Lord are still the same as they were yesterday. And they're going to be the same tomorrow. And the rules of righteous living are the same. So if you have become a mother, and fathers, you'll get your turn later on. Mothers, if you have children, teach them to do the right thing. Teach them to live right. That they might grow in admonition. The Bible says, raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. And if you haven't done that, you need to start that. And once you start that, then your children will grow a sense of value of coming to church. Bring them to church. Don't be like some parents and take them and drop them off. Come to church. Bring them to church. Come with them. Come in the church house. You know, it's unfortunate, but some parents, even mothers, haven't seen the inside of the church house in many, many months or many years. But coming to church is a good thing. Forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together. So with that being said, somebody may say, well, preacher, I've tried to raise my kids the right way. I've tried to do the best that I can. But I don't know how much farther I can go because my children get on my nerves. Well, the one answer I can give you is that what the Bible always tells us is to pray without ceasing. Prayer will get you through when nothing else that a man has written in a book or a woman has written in a book or an instructional DVD, prayers will get you what those things can. You know, it always seems funny to me that somebody will write a book about children and they don't have children. Or somebody will write a book, tell me about things about like divorcing, but they've been divorced 3 times. And they'll tell me how to do it. Well, you can say, well, they've got experience. They know what they're doing. No, they don't, because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have been divorced 3 times. But the Bible is always right. If you bring your children up reading the Bible, hopefully they will not stray from it. But children, when they grow up, as I said, they have a mind of their own. But just remember that the Lord loves us all, and the Lord does not want any of us to be lost. He wants us all to be able to say, when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, he wants you to be standing in that line. How do I get to become a member of the Lord's church? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. It's not too cold. We can baptize you right now, right today. And if you are a member of the Lord's body, but somewhere you walked astray, and walking astray today is a lot easier than it used to be, you can come forward, ask the Lord to forgive you of your past sins, and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather new strength. And if this is your opportunity as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.